rejoice in the first coming, and at the same time, we are looking forward to that second coming. And just as he came the first time, he will come a second time and receive us to be with him forever. And so that is our great joy and our great hope. And so we've met together to worship our coming King. Let's go to him in prayer. Dear Father, Lord, we lift our voices up to you in praise. We are filled with thankfulness and joy because of you. You have taken us from our darkness and given us light. You've taken us from our despair and given us hope. And Father, in Jesus Christ, we have a future. And so we look forward to the day when he will reign. And you have demonstrated the surety of that by sending your Son and raising him from the dead and raising him up to be at your right hand. Lord, we know that you've told him, you've made a promise to him to sit at your right hand until you make all enemies his footstool. And so someday he's going to come again and claim what is rightfully his. And all of the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of our Christ. And so, Father, we look to that day. And Lord, we just praise you for this time of year. Praise you for the focus upon the Lord Jesus. We do thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity, this service, even to hear from our missionary, the Harrises to Peru, and Lord, just to hear what you're doing around the world. And God, you're such a bigger God than us. You're working and hearing in people's lives all around the world and furthering your work and honoring your Son's name. So, Lord, we are so thankful to be your servants. And we come today to humbly worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated this time. Just want to welcome you to our service today, and as I mentioned in the prayer, we do have a special blessing for you today. If you're part of Sunday school, then you already got to see our missionary to Peru, the Harrises, John and Nisha, and we've been supporting them for a long time, since before I was a pastor here, maybe 15, 16 years, and so it's been really neat to see how the Lord's used them, and they're just continually going forward, and God's using them to advance the kingdom of the Lord. And Brother John's going to preach for us this morning, so I'm looking forward to that. And he is definitely an able man with the Word of God, and we're really excited how God's going to speak to our hearts today in the service. We just have some announcements, a couple of them that are just normally don't do these type of announcements, but we didn't have our normal Sunday school. But I want to let you know that Brother Don McDaniel's in the hospital, so please pray for him. He's diagnosed with pneumonia, and so he'll... Lord willing, he'll be able to get out in a couple days if everything goes well. So continue to pray for him, and then also pray for Brenda Lawrence. She's been moved to Nevada for her rehab after a hip surgery. So just two announcements in that regard that I'm aware of. And just some other announcements. We are looking towards next week. If you need an updated picture and for our prayer, well, we have cards that we give out so that you can pray for each other through our family of the week. So if you've had a child or you don't like the picture you had before and you've gotten younger and since your last one you want to know. But if you'd like to get another one, I'm so glad for Denise. She's taking pictures, and so just let her know about that. Also, tonight we are having choir practice at 5 p.m. And so those in the choir can be a part of this. And then just an announcement as well for the Christmas Singspiration the following Sunday next week. I've already had several reach out to me and let me know what songs you'd like to participate in that. We'll do some congregation singing, but also hearing some specials from our young people and others that would like to be a part of that. So that's always a blessing in regards to that. So we'll have our normal regular services this week. And I'm just so thankful for all those that participated in our parade. We were able to give out at least, we're not sure, we bought 1,000 flyers, but we used some of our tracks from last year. And so we probably gave out over 1,000 tracks on Thursday night. And just some very intriguing, inviting gospel message. And so I just pray as the Lord, the young people, adults, sitting around their home, they begin to pick that up, maybe even today, and read about God's salvation for them, that the seed has been sown, that it would fall upon good ground. And we might be able to follow up with that. And then also those that participate, a lot of work went into the Christmas on the Bricks, and we had several hundred people come and watch that from the surrounding community and here in Fort Scott. And so the gospel is able to be given. And so thank you for all your work and labor in regards to that as well. Then another, just we look ahead, the Seeking the Summit Fellowship will be on Tuesday, December 17th at noon, and we're going to meet at Outpost, and that'll be a new restaurant in town, so that'll be fun to check that out and to do that together. And then also just a reminder for our Secret Sisters that the December 22nd will be the reveal following the AM service. There are some sign-ups if you'd like to be a part of it, and again next year, sign your name up and fill that out, and you'll have a good time doing that through the year. Our missionary family of the week is Matt and Kaylin Miller. And so they are missionaries to Serbia. They are, it was interesting, we had some phone conversation with them, and Lord willing, next month we'll be able to see, have a video update. They'll have a live look in with them, be able to talk to them in the evening service. And it's just, he was showing me some of the things that they're doing, and it's really fascinating that kind of on the cutting edge of the technology in regards to reaching people with advertisements. So he just shows how I did not know that you could choose to advertise to Fort Scott on YouTube. And so you can choose Facebook and you can say, I want to limit my demographics. I want it to all be at this time. You can say when it is, and then they're going to get a video message that they have presented. So they have that uplifted and everything. And so they're hitting and targeting a specific area in advance of a gospel outreach in that community. So let's be in prayer for them. That I think that's rolling out even as we speak right now. And so they're in preparation for that. So be in prayer for them this week and the gospel there in Serbia. And our family of the week is Charlotte Johnson. So Charlotte, we're glad to pray for you. Is there anything that specifically that we could pray as you're thinking? We'll be glad to continue to pray for your family and your children and pray for your continued good health. So, very good. So, all right. Very good. Well, very good. We'll enjoy praying for you this week in specifically. So, we're going to take our hymnals again. We're going to lift up our voices in praise and worship to our Lord, especially these great hymns that we get to hear all through this Christmas time.
All right, so if you'll take your hymnals again and turn to page 220, a song we sang quite a few times last night, which was a blessing, and Friday night also. We Three Kings of Orient Are, if you're able to, let's all stand and then remain standing for the reading of God's Word. If you weren't there in either of those nights, that's kind of what they focused on, was the perspective of the wise men. And so Pastor put that all together, and I just want to say what a blessing it was for him to do that. He put a lot of effort into that to come up with the script and everything that went with that. And it was really a blessing to be a part of it. So, We Three Kings.
We Three Kings of Orient Are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain.
Westward leading, still proceeding, God. This morning, who would open to John chapter 6? John chapter 6, beginning verse 26 for today's scripture reading. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto him, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." May God bless the reading of his word this morning. You may be seated. And this time, individually at our seats, we're going to go to this God who provides for us.
This time we're going to take our love offering to the Lord, and everything that comes in will go to furthering the gospel here in Bethel. If you'd like to give something specifically, we're going to have a love offering for our missionaries, the Harrises, this evening, and so I want you to be aware of that. But if you're not able to be here tonight and would like to, just use one of the envelopes in front of you or designate that on your check or something like that, and everything that designated in that regard will go to our missionaries as well, and excited about furthering them and blessing them in regard to the blessing that we're receiving from them in our partnership through the gospel. So I'd like to ask Brother Matt Brock if he wouldn't mind praying for offering here this morning.
Thank you.
Turn over to page 213, the first Noel, a lot of verses here, so we're going to skip one. We're going to skip number four, so we'll sing 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6.
And by
right across the page, 214, March of the Wise Men. I ask you to stand if you're able to on this one, give you a chance to stretch before the message. 214, March of the Wise Men.
a joy to sing about the difference that Jesus makes. And neat to hear a testimony last night as we were giving the gospel to people, and someone said that they had received Christ, and they gave their testimony and said, "He completely changed my life." And that is the truth of what Jesus Christ does for us. And we praise the Lord that He was willing to come and to honor all of us by taking up human flesh and to dwell among us. Well, I'm going to dismiss the children at this time for Children's Church. And then I'm going to introduce our speaker, Brother John Harris. And I really enjoyed hearing him preach. I remember him preaching in our old building last time. And maybe it was a Sunday night, but anyway, it was very much a blessing. And so I, with great confidence, hand over the pulpit and the opportunity to preach God's word to us. And I know you're going to receive a blessing, and I eagerly anticipate what God's going to speak to us. So, Brother John, if you'll come.
Oh, thank you so much again, Pastor, for the opportunity to be able to come and to be able to share with you. I'm going to go ahead and switch it on now.
The opportunity of what God is doing. And, you know, we have so many different stories, illustrations to be able to share with you. And maybe we can be able to tell you more of the adventures of Peru as I have an opportunity to be able to travel up and down the Amazon. And to be able to visit different villages and be able to evangelize throughout Peru. And yes, the pink dolphins do exist. I thought it was just something made up, but I was going on a boat down the river, and there was pink dolphins swimming right next to us. The anacondas, the world's longest snake, saw them in the river. And many other stories, illustrations, interesting things to be able to see there in Peru. Would you go with me to John chapter 6, where our scripture reading was this morning? And I'd like to be able to do something a little bit different this morning. In starting the morning service, I would like for you in just a minute to be able just to share something that God has done for you in your life. Or a blessing or an answer to prayer with someone right next to you. It could be your spouse, it could be your child, it could be somebody else that is there. Just take a minute or two and just be able to share something that God has done for you recently. So would you just take a minute and do that right now? Go ahead and share a blessing or a prayer request or answer to prayer request or something that Jesus means to you with someone there. I'm hearing a little whispers, but you can be able to do it. Somebody wants to speak up out loud, that's fine. But share it with someone next to you there. Share it there. We've got some time. Don't worry. So have both have the opportunity. Everybody have the opportunity. Share something that God means to you. God's done for you. A blessing. You know what? It is... It is a blessing to be able to gather together and have fellowship as believers. Amen. Sometimes we gather together in church and, you know, our tendency is not knowing how to be able to have that fellowship as believers. And so a lot of times, many times we talk about the weather or we talk about sports or we talk about other things. But, you know, we have so many blessings to share of what Jesus has done. Amen. And I didn't realize that I missed it so much. You know, when I'm out in the jungle, we just adapt. We don't have these things. We do have these things, and we just make it work. And whether it's food or not having restaurants or not having this or that. But look at the blessings we do have and to be able to share that. And being out in the jungle with my wife and I, we've adjusted and we've adapted so many times. But coming back on furlough and coming to churches like this is such a blessing just to have fellowship with others. And I didn't realize how much I've missed it until you have it. And to be able to sing songs in English again, and to be able to just enjoy that fellowship and the common bond that we have in Jesus and what He has done for us. You know what, as a missionary, I grew up in a Christian home. Parents that loved the Lord put all six of their kids through a Christian school, allowed us to go to Christian camps and take mission trips and to be able to get involved in so many things. And our parents had family devotions and raised us in teaching us about Jesus. And I assumed everybody was like that. I assumed that everybody had that. And yet my kids came back from Peru, and they were shocked. They were just like, "Dad, not all families in America even have that. They don't even have that fellowship. And Christian camaraderie and the fellowship as believers, and yet it's so important and vital for us." Yeah. I encourage you, when you gather in church, is try to find the courage just to be able to speak up and just say something to someone else about what Jesus means to you. Yeah. We should be able to have that freedom here in the church, amen. And to be able to have that kind of bond. In fact, sometimes we feel like, you know, oh, I'm thinking that I'm more spiritual or more righteous or I'm, you know, I'm this and things. But yet overcome those things and just enjoy the fellowship we have as believers. It's so important. My heart breaks still when I traveled up and down the Amazon River and visiting villages and visiting places that have never heard of Jesus. And I know we're sitting in America, and land of opportunity really is. And we are spoiled. We have so many things to be thankful for. And yet, if you were to travel to areas that don't have those opportunities, it would break your heart. As a missionary, I'd love to be able to share that experience with you in some way for you to be able to understand the need that's out there still. Of people that need to hear the good news, to be able to know who Jesus is. That's really when God spoke to my wife and I, specifically about missions. Ever since I was 9 years old, I heard a missionary come in and share his stories that I was always wanting to be a missionary. If God would ever use us. And I remember serving him, God, as a youth pastor, Christian school teacher, in full-time ministry for many years before missions. And our church would always have a missions conference. And at the missions conference, my wife and I would go forward and say, "God, if you ever were to call, we're willing. Here am I." And that should be the attitude of all of us, amen? Yeah. It's the attitude of, you know, I'm going to do whatever God has for me, whatever he would have. And it was when we took a mission trip, my wife and I, into the Amazon, and we saw the villages firsthand. We saw the people in the Amazon of Venezuela that God revealed that now's the time. Now's the time. I'm praying that God would call more laborers. Yeah. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth more laborers. This world needs to hear about Jesus. Right. You just heard a special music about how Jesus came. How Jesus came. He brings hope. He brings light. He brings life. He brings so much for us. And yet, if you were to go to those villages and be able to see and understand that this place doesn't have a pastor that studies and works to prepare messages and to be able to share with them the good news. This village doesn't have a church. This village doesn't have other believers to be able to gather and talk about Jesus and what he's done. These villages don't even have a Bible in their language, many of them. They say that the Amazon in South America has the most uncontacted people than anywhere in the world. Yet there are so many unreached and so many that have yet to hear. I remember going into one village, and as I was sharing with them and through a translator, and I was sharing with them, they all got a facial expression of amazement. And I asked the translator, "What's going on?" He says, "You got to understand, they've never heard about Jesus." I was like, "Really? In this day of age, in this time, they've never?" And he said, "They're asking if you know who the Creator is. If you know him by name." I said, "Yes, I do." and to share with them. See, there they know that there's a God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Firmament showeth his handiwork. They know there's a God that has created all of these things. They know that there's something that has created and has put all of this into existence and keeps it going, but yet they don't know who he is. They know general revelation that there's a God, but they don't know who God is. They begin to make their own gods. Well, maybe it's the sun. And so there's a sun god, there's a rock god, there's a rain god, there's the earth god. There's so many different ones that they try to look to, say this is the most powerful thing, or this is the thing that we would worship. And yet the only way they can be able to really know who this God is special revelation, the Bible. The Bible shares with us who God is. And as a missionary, it's a tremendous blessing to be able to share with them who God truly is, who Jesus is. Now, again, here in the States, it's hard for us to comprehend that. We have blessings and we can be able to share with one another, God is this, God means this, God has done this. And that's such a blessing. And yet we want to get that to others as well so that they can rejoice with us. Well, you know what? Jesus came and he shared with us the good news, the gospel message. And he was sharing that with so many in his lifetime. And he was, especially his last 3 years, he was able to share with them who he is and what he offers, what he brings to the world. Well, we have so many illustrations and stories of that through the New Testament. The book of John, where he reveals himself to the world here. But you know what? Jesus had to face many people that were following him for different reasons and yet missed the real reason. The real reason. Would you go with me to John chapter 6 and look at verse 1 there? John chapter 6 and verse 1. We'll start there. I have to ask myself, why is it that I'm following Jesus? Let me put it this way, how some people have worded it for a missionary specifically. So what is it that causes you to forsake yourself, leave your family, leave your country, give of your money, your time, your abilities to be a missionary? That one would be willing to devote all of his time to study, to pray, to read the Bible, to witness to the lost. What is it that would convince someone to follow Jesus to that extent, to that sacrifice, to that point? Well, there's a couple of missionaries that went through so many of those things. We see a William Carey, the shoemaker, to missionary to India. 7 years he worked there without a convert. Can you imagine? And yet we see that God used it in such a great way. Or we could be able to talk about many of the others. Marion Judson to the Burmese. He was tortured by soldiers for 2 years. We see that he faced so many trials and hardships. Faced fierce cramps, clouds of mosquitoes feasted on the raw flesh of his feet and legs. There were months after release that his wife died of a fever from smallpox. Shortly after his wife died, his daughter died, and only a handful of Burmese even showed an interest in his ministry and his message. And yet today, over 1 million Burmese trace their Christian roots to this missionary, Judson. We see that people that have gone through all kinds of sacrifices and difficulties, and I have to ask myself when I study a lot of these missionaries and read their stories and read these things, and I'm saying, why would they be willing to do all of that? And what reason was it? What motivated them to follow Jesus? Well, you know what? In John chapter 6, there were a lot of people that were following Jesus as well. We can see some of those reasons and what Jesus had to say about that. You can see it there in John chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. We see in verse 2 there, a great multitude of people followed him. You know what? There are some people that are following Jesus simply because others are following him. You know what? I grew up in a Christian home, as I said before. And you know what? The reason why I went to church? Because my parents made me. You know, I was going to church because my parents went to church. Some people, they come to church just because of my spouse or because of other friends or because of other people. And yet they do not understand who Jesus really is. They're coming to be able to curiosity. They want to see or understand. And we see here that many people were following Jesus, but they were following him without knowing who Jesus truly is. Can you imagine with me in this time of ages, as many of them were waking up, going and working their job, and all of a sudden a huge crowd goes by their business. Well, what's going on? What's happening? Haven't you heard? Jesus is coming to our area. This is the same Jesus we've heard about that has done all kinds of different magics and miracles and tricks and different things. This is the same person? Yes. That they would be willing to leave their jobs, leave their positions, and follow this crowd. That they would go and they would look to seek Jesus. They are following just because other people are. It's the end thing to do. But you know what? It's not just following somebody to be able to seek Jesus. It's needing to go so much further than that. Needing to be able to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Getting to know who he is and what he offers to you. But see, some people, they seek Jesus. We stopped at the living a nativity scene on the last night. And seeing many people that were walking by and curious why the crowd was there, why these things were having the horse and carriage go by and say, look at the people, what they're looking at. The curiosity of people wanting to be able to hear just simply because others were doing also. You know what? We would invite people to see Jesus, seek Jesus, but not just to be a part of the crowd, but to be able to understand who Jesus truly is. We see that many of the people will follow just because of curiosity and because of the crowd. But it goes much more beyond that. We see here that in verse 2, what is it? What else? What are the reasons why they would follow great multitudes? Follow him because they saw his miracles. Oh, well, our human nature is we want to be entertained. We want to be entertained. We want a show. We want a presentation. We want videos, or we want something that's going to entertain us and be able to help us see. And here's Jesus performing many miracles. We see it before of how he did so many of the miracles. We're amazed when we see magic and we see some of those things take place. And they were told that Jesus now is in that area and maybe they would be able to see something. So I imagine some of them were coming so that they could be able to see Jesus do a miracle. To be able to do some of the miracles, to be able to touch and heal the blind and the sick, to be able to help someone. You know what? Jesus does miracles. I still believe that he does miracles today. We can be able to see testimonies of people of how they were free from cancer, or they've been healed, or that Jesus provided for them or protected them. It just amazes me in Peru of many times that Jesus revealed himself to us. Some people have asked, you know, are there any dangers in Peru? Yes, there are. There's not only the dangers of animals, of terrorist groups, of the roads, and many of the things. I remember I was on my way to a village and a new area that someone told me about, and I enjoy going and visiting new places. And as I was driving to this new area, I had go through high altitude areas. And as I was going, I saw a little kid up ahead. And I was just like, you know what? Many times these houses, what they'll do is they'll sell little things that they make or drinks and things to be able to make some money. I'm going to stop here and be able to maybe get something to drink and talk with the family here. As I stopped there and got a chance to be able to talk with the mother and the child there and get a drink, the mom says, I'm really surprised that you stopped here, because they didn't really have a bodega or a little store or sign or anything. And I was just like, well, why are you surprised with that? And she said, well, just around the next corner, around the next curve, the terrorist group just took over the village and are holding everybody in hostage. And if you would have gone there, they would have for sure have taken your vehicle and all your possessions and held you. And of course, I turned around and went the other way. But as I was going away, I just had to stop and say, you know what, thank you, Lord God. Once again, you showed up how you protect, how you guide. And I'm sure we're going to get in heaven. He's going to reveal so many more things that he did for us. And yet there are dangers around. But yet we see God that's our protects. We see a God that works. And you know what? God reveals himself to us. And some people, they're just like, you know what? I'm going to follow Jesus because I want to be able to have that type of protection. I want to see that miracle. I want that done in my life. I want, you remember what the one is like, you know, I want that Holy Spirit. I want that power. I want that. And yet, what is that motive and reason? It's our own selfish desires. And we miss the mark of who Jesus is. And we see here that there are many people that are wanting to be able to have and participate in it. Well, we see in the book of John so many of these things that that are taught. We see the lad being used to feed the 5,000, the miracle of that. We see all kinds of miracles in the scriptures of Jesus revealing to himself that he is the Son of God. Not just a man, not just a miracle worker. He is the Son of God that has come to give life. He's come to give the gospel message that we know today. Yet we see that, first of all, some come because of a great multitude. Others come because of miracles. We see in verse 26 another reason why some people come to Jesus. It says, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Well, we see it in this passage in John chapter 6, of the verse 6 and verse through 13. It says that this lad was able to provide his lunch, 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes in verse 9. And Jesus was able to make it multiply and feed 5,000 people as they gathered up the fragments in verse 12 that remained, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together, filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. They were able to see the miracles of Jesus did specifically in that area at that time. And they were able to see that. And they were just like, we want to see more. But you know what? It was more seeking Jesus for what he could provide. And again, if you were to go to me with this time and be able to see their work, they wake up the next morning. All right, back to the routine. Let's go to work. Let's make our money. If you were there in Peru, they make their money for that day so that they can survive that day. So they'll go to work. They'll work to receive their pay, be able to get their food for that day, and to be able to go through their routine. Can you imagine, though, in this time period, they go to work, and they're just like, okay, what's the reason I'm working? I'm working so I can get paid. Well, why do I need to get paid? Well, because I want to eat. I want to take care of my family. Well, wait a second. The day before, I went out to the other country, and Jesus provided food for me. I didn't have to work for it. Jesus provided it. So you know what? The next morning, they're just like, wait a second. I'm just going to go find Jesus. And he's going to find a way to feed me. They go and they look for Jesus, and they couldn't find him. He was gone. They were just like, well, where did he go? Where's Jesus? They're just like, well, have you heard? He's on the other side of the sea. The other side of there. They're like, well, it's not possible. He sent his disciples in one boat, and there's no other missing boats here. How did he get across? He's like, oh, he's over there. So guess what they do? They get in their boats, and they go over, forsaking again their work, their time there. They go to the other side, and what's the first question you think they'll ask? How'd you get here? How did you get here? How did you come all over here? Well, we know the answer in the scriptures, right? Jesus walked on the water. We see the miracles that he's revealed. If you look at verse 16, when his eve was come, his disciples went down to sea, entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. The sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 and 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. And he said, "It is I, be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship. Immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. We see the people then, verse 22, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein his disciples were entered, that Jesus went not with his disciples into that boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from the area of Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. Again, my question is, why do you seek Jesus? What is your motive for coming to church and taking your time to be able to read the Bible, to hear the Bible? What is the motive for seeking Jesus? And for some, it was because, look at the miracles that he did. For some, it was because this is what others are doing. For some, it was because of the meat, their food. And we see Jesus had to address it even with these people here. Look at it there in verse 25. It said, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, or teacher, whence camest thou hither? How did you get here? That's what they're saying. How did you get here? And Jesus didn't even tell them or reveal to them the miracle. Well, I was walking on water. You're just like, why are you seeking me? What's your motive? What's your reason for seeking me? Look at the verse 26. Jesus answered him and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. They want more. See, this is the problem and the difficulty is that you can feed a person physically, but the next day they're going to be hungry again. Now, we saw this firsthand in Peru. In Peru, there is, as the video showed in Sunday school, there is a big need for the physical parts. People are poor, they're hungry, they're sick, they do not have opportunities and possessions, they don't have many things, and so yet there is a big need. And yet we use the opportunity to be able to open up doors and to be able to help the needs. We see Jesus did the same. He showed his love for them, his compassion for them. He wanted to help them. And so he was able to provide food for people. He was able to heal their sickness. He has a love for the people. And as missionaries, we did that. Many times we would go to the store and buy the big sacks of rice and the big food things and take it to our house so we can go to these villages and be able to share it. During the time of COVID, after we had got many of the supplies and we had somebody come and knock on our door, I was like, well, this is a shock. Yeah, the reason why I say it's a shock is because there were days you were not allowed to leave your house. It was against the law. They trying to contain the time of COVID. There was one time that our neighbor wanted to go across the street to check on his mom. And the law was you're not allowed out of your house. And sure enough, as he was walking across the street, a patrol car came around the area there and saw him out of his house. They went up and they were putting him in handcuffs and arresting him. The wife comes running out of her place with a mask, and she's yelling, you know, no, he's trying to explain. I'm up at our place looking out on the second floor from where we're at, and I could hear and see everything. And she comes running out, and she's just like, no, he was just crossing to check on his mom. Really, seriously. It's like, no, you know the law. You're not allowed out of your house on this day. And as they were putting handcuffs on me and arresting me, and she was just like, but how long is this going to take? Because I almost have lunch ready. And I'm almost laughing like, that's not going to make a difference. What with it? Sure enough, they took him to jail. The next day, I saw him. I said, so what happened? He's like, oh, they did. They took us to jail. Took me to jail. They put me in a cell. He says, no bathroom, no food, no nothing for 24 hours. You sat there. He's like, because of that. They released me and said, if I catch you again, it's going to be longer with it. And yet, there were so many different needs that were there, but yet so many restrictions as well. So when we heard a knock on our door, we're like, why is somebody out? So we go out there and said, Pastor, I'm so sorry to bother you and disturb you, but we've gone days now without food. And there's so many restrictions and things. Is there anything at all you can offer for us? So we go and put a food bag together and we share it with them. And as they walk back up to their place, not too much longer, another knock on our door. I come out and a line is starting to form all the way around the block. Tell my wife and girls, quick, get up. We have an opportunity. They begin to start putting bags together with all the essentials of eggs and flour and oil and different things we were planning on taking it to a village when we got the chance. And yet we're putting all these bags together, and I'm out there talking with the people and sharing with them the ministry, the church, who Jesus is. And sure enough, a patrol car came around. Saw the people. He gets out and he's like, Pastor, what do you think you're doing? I said, I'm doing what God's called me to do. I was like, there's a need here. You're restricting people that they need to have. And I said, I want to make this available. I want to give it to them. Police officer paused and everything. And then he said, all right, I'll take care of this. So I thought he was just going to go and tell everybody to go home and be done. Instead, he goes over and he's just like, I want every single one of you 1 meter apart, better have a mask on, and you listen to what the pastor tells you. I was like, well, there you go. As my wife and my kids are inside preparing food bags and things, I get a chance to share with them who Jesus truly is. That it's not just about food. You know what's really interesting? Not even a couple days after that, the same people. Pastor, is there any way? It's interesting because you'll continue to be able to have those needs. Listen, folks, we have needs. We have physical needs, maybe some that are sick, some that have need for food or other things, and we see it all the time in Peru with it. And Jesus wants to help and show his love. But if that's the only thing, we've missed the point of who Jesus is. Because we'll miss the mark of why he truly came. It was not just to meet our needs for a temporary time. It was to offer eternal life. He was not sent to the world to condemn the world, but that they would have life, eternal life. And yet we can be able to meet. Listen, I think it's great that churches help with helping feed the poor. And I think it's great that we offer different ministries to be able to help reach the sick and to be able to go to jails and to be able to go to hospitals and to be able to go these things. But if we just do those things, we miss the point. We need to be having them seek Jesus for who he truly is and the message that he gives. And yet there are people that, human nature, they want to have these things met. Absolutely. And that's great because it reveals that God is all powerful and that God loves them and God cares for them and God wants to do those things. He's done it in my life and so many times that I've seen Him provide, protect, and guide. And what a great God we have. But if it's only for the reasons of selfishness to get for ourselves, we miss the point. He wants to restore a relationship with you. See, from the very beginning, God established man with that fellowship in the garden. Sin broke that fellowship. He wants to restore that. And it's only through Jesus Christ. When He died on the cross, He made it possible to have our sins forgiven and to be restored in a relationship with Him. And Jesus came to share that good news. That if you believe on Me, you can have eternal life. Do you realize what the meaning of life and death is? What is death? Death is simply a separation. When a person dies physically, it's separating his body from his soul. It's separation from. For the Bible speaks that there is a death that is eternal, that is separation from God for eternity, from man, in a place called hell. And we see that the wages of sin is death, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. You can have that restored relationship with Him. See, this is the message that we want to be able to share. Oh, yeah, missionaries can be able to share the good things of look at the food we provided, look at the medicine we provided, look at the clothes we provided, look at the bed we provided, look for these things that we've offered. And what a blessing it is that God has allowed us to be able to do that. But if that's all we have done, we've missed the mark. We've got to point them to Jesus to save them for eternity. The message that He gives. And so Jesus had to deal with it here with these people. You're seeking Me, not because of miracles this time or a multitude. You're seeking Me because you want to be filled. You want more food. Would you look at it there in, as we go on here? We see that many are following Jesus for those reasons. Some of them were following because He is a great man. Look at verse 27, if you would. It says, labor not, Jesus says, for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for whom hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. We see here that Son of Man, Son of God. Oh, you know what? I grew up in a Christian home, and I was in a church, and I found out that there are many people that are following a person and not Christ. And it's discouraging to be able to see that. Now, I grew up in a church. It grew a very big, had a Christian school, had a college, had a bus ministry, had a thriving ministry, nursing home ministry, so many different ministries there. And then the pastor died. And I, as just in junior high at the time, was wondering, what in the world is going on? Only to find out that many people were only following the pastor and not God. You say, how do you know that? We went from a church of about 900 to many that stopped even going to church, period. And I was like, wait, what? Being young, I was just like, what is going on? You know, there's a danger of people following a man instead of following God. Now, I'm very thankful for my church. I'm very thankful for my pastor. And I hope you realize that you guys have a blessing by having a pastor here. As talented as he is with the instruments and with studies and things, what a blessing it is. And I hope that you show that appreciation. Well, they even face that in the scriptures. Many who are following Paul, many who are following Peter, many who are following, and what did they have to say? You know, follow Me because I follow Him. Put your eyes on him. John put it, how did John put it? That he must increase, I must decrease. We should have a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus that surpasses all others' relationships with our spouse, with our kids, with others. We should be setting our eyes on God. And no matter if we have to, I have to tell the people in Peru all the time in my church. I was like, listen. I said, I'm here to be able to teach you. I'm here to be able to preach. I'm here to be able to disciple. I'm here to be able to help. I'm here to be able to help do these things. But your eyes should be on God. If I is to pass away, or if the country kicks me out or whatever happens, that you would still have a personal walk with God. And that should be each and every one of us. So we're following Jesus because of who he is. Not because of my hero's God. I've told people that have come across that when I got saved when I was 10 years old, I said I came to a point that it was no longer my parents' God, my church's God, my Christian school's God, my pastor's God. He became my God. And I think that's the danger of many times in our churches, that we follow our parents or we follow our pastor or we follow these things without realizing we should have a personal relationship with our God. That we're walking with him. We're hearing him speak to us. And I'm so thankful for our Christian parents and my pastor in church. They help strengthen me with it. But it should be a personal walk with God. Amen. Don't follow because he's a man. And they wanted to make him king. Do you remember? And they wanted great things because look of who he is. And yet he's saying, you need to realize that I'm so much more than that. You're looking at me from human eyes rather than seeing that I am the Son of God that can take away the sins of the world. And yet we see here that he makes it very clear to them. He says, don't follow me because of you want to make me a king or because I'm such a great man. But follow me because of the message that I bring. And this is how he shared the message with them. It says there in verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. They said, okay, well, tell us about this work. And if you would look at it, verse 31, it says, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, they said, and as is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So again, their mindset is still, we want to be supplied. And Moses, we followed him because of look what his miracles and what he could do and what this had happened. And Jesus is like, no, you missed the point there, what Moses was getting across to you. He didn't give you that manna. Look at it says there. Verse 32, then Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Well, who is it that came down from heaven? We celebrate Christmas of his first coming. Of Jesus came down from heaven. It wasn't that. As I tell the Peruvians, it wasn't that Jesus was born and began. He came down from heaven. He's always existed. He came down from heaven and to give life unto the world. Verse 34, then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Yeah, I think of the woman in Samaria that he said that I am the water. And she said that, well, you'll never thirst again. And she's like, oh, well, give me that water. And yet, how does he respond when they're talking specifically about the bread or the meat? And he tells them very plainly, verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. I'm the one you have heard about, the Messiah, the promised one that is coming. I am the one. We see we can break that down and be able to explain I am the proof of his deity. He came down from heaven. He is a great I am, as was told in Moses in the Old Testament. As He reveals to them who he truly is. Do you believe that Jesus is God? Do you have that relationship with him? Do you have that message that that he can save you from your sins? That he is able to save? The second part of that there, I am the bread. A picture of essential need. In Peru, they have a tree root that's called a yucca, or earlier it's a kasabi root. The Indians will make anything out of this. It's amazing to see them in the jungle living off of the land. And they'll take that tree out, they'll break off the root, a really big root, and they will bake it in the sun to make a big pancake, or they'll be able to crumble it and put it in water, boil water with different things for soup. They'll use it for so much. And so as I'm sharing with them, an essential need, the bread, and they're like, the kasabi root. And I was just like, what did they just say? And the translator was just like, kasabi root. And I was just like, well, what is kasabi root? And he's explained it to me. He says, they use this this root on everything. It is so essential here. And I was just like, okay. So the people here understand exactly what Jesus was saying. I am the bread, the essential part of that is need. But yet he's telling them that this bread is completely different, surpasses all that anything else this earth can be able to offer. You know what? Jesus knows our needs. We need to look to him in faith and obedience to his word and trust in him to provide what is needed. We see here that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. From the very beginning, God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It was because of sin that there is death, separation from God. But God made a way through his Son to give us eternal life. Sure, our body gets older and decays. And sure, we have the different needs. But you know what? We can be able to establish a home in heaven that's prepared for us if we would believe in him to save us from our sins. We see we are not without hope, because Jesus made a way by dying on the cross to pay for our sins' penalty of death. But you have to believe. You have to believe that he is. That he is the breath of life. You know what? As he gives to them, he says, I am the breath of life, the bread of life. If you believe on me, you can have eternal life. Verse 37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. What is the will of God? In verse 39, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, capital S, the Son of God, and believeth on him, may have the everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. I think the true reason why we should be coming and seeking Jesus, because of the message he brings of who he is, the Son of God, that desires for you to be saved, not to face the penalty of sin, not to have to go to hell, not to be separated from your Creator, Father, but to be able to receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Oh, that we would be able to have that good news, and that we would receive it and believe it. Verse 47 is repeated, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. You know, it's a clear message that he's given to them. And this is where I finish the service of this morning. Is somebody comes to you and gives you these good news, you have the responsibility or opportunity to respond. So Jesus speaking to the multitude there, tells them who he is. And they have a response of either to receive it or to reject it, to refuse it. We have that same privilege and opportunity to either believe it and receive it for ourselves or refuse it. What is our response? Well, if you were to go toward the end of the chapter here, verse 60, it says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So all the disciples, the people, the multitude that were followers of Jesus, they were seeking Jesus. They were coming to, let me put it to our terms, they were coming to church. And they were hearing the message, but they weren't believing it and following it for themselves. And it says many of them said, this is too hard to receive. And they returned home. And they stopped seeking Jesus. Many of them returned home. The next day, they wake up. And they're just like, you know what? They're not seeking Jesus anymore. They're going back into their work. And missed out on the blessings that God wanted for them. It even got to a point that Jesus turned to his 12 disciples and said, what about you? Can you receive it? Can you believe it? Can you accept it? Look at their disciples' response. Well, in verse 66, the crowd from that time, many of his followers, his disciples, went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus in verse 67 unto the 12, will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. What is your response today? Are you going to turn and go away? Or are you going to say, you know what? He is the Son of God, and he can save my soul. In just a minute, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor to allow him to close how he sees fit. But that you have an opportunity to respond. Some of you may be seeking Jesus for the wrong reasons. Some of the children here might be coming just because their parents brought them. Some because, you know what, I've heard that you know, Jesus can maybe heal me of my sickness or provide, or I have a need. There's some that is, well, it's Christmas time. And so some just come for that one time of the year. But I'd like to share with you, there's so much more to Jesus. And he seeks to have a relationship with you. And he seeks to save you from your sin's penalty. He seeks to have a walk with you. And would you please come to him? Would you please receive him and have that walk with him? Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus, to share the good news with us.